Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be talking about a subject that every one of us actually thoroughly enjoy. What is that? The subject is love, L-O-V-E. Julie Orlov is my guest today. She has a book called The Pathway to Love, and she believes that intimacy, not just between that special significant other, but also relationships with others. It has a whole different feel many times than what we are taught to think we're going to have through some of these soap operas that are so often on television. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
Now, you're a psychotherapist. You also are an executive coach. You speak on this matter. And you've traveled around the world talking to people about developing relationships that work. Now, there is so much material out there. You use the word transformation. What does this mean to you, and why is it that you decided to make this something that was so significant a part of your career in working with others?
Well, I'll take the second part of the question first.
Okay.
Because when we have relationships in our life that work, the rest of our life works better. You know, when it comes down to it, when you think about it, our relationships are just at the core of everything we do and the quality of our lives. And, you know, as many books as there have been that are out there on relationships, I think people still kind of muddle through. Mm-hmm. And they partly muddle through because I think their understanding and expectations of what relationships offer is just a little bit skewed. So I wanted to bring in a new way to look at relationships and understand relationships that might shine a different light on the whole subject matter.
I think you bring up a very good point, and I'm going to mention the first quote that you have in your book here. It says, "To gain understanding, listen to what others have to say with an open and empty mind, as if you've never heard anything like it before." And to me, that was a great way to start off your book. And the reason I feel that that is so important is in today's world, we are not living on little islands. We are interacting in multicultural environments on almost a daily basis. And I think if someone just kept a little diary on the different cultural aspects that we can come in contact with in a day, I know for me, it's amazing. And this is something that is important, being able to listen and observe, because so often we're trained that, gee, you just think this way, and this is the only way to go, and that's it. Those paradigms are for everybody, everything, under every circumstance. It doesn't work that way at all.
Well, you know, people get very attached to their perceptions and belief systems, and which is, you know, normal. It's human to do that, but it really gets in our way in establishing healthy and intimate relationships. So you're absolutely right. We no longer live in small villages. In other words, the whole globe is really one big village at this point. And you need to be able to put aside your preconceived ideas and beliefs and be able to really take in what someone is saying, what they feel, what their thoughts are, how they see the world, as if it's really something, a whole new and exciting new concept to you. It's just the way we need to bridge each other and our understanding of each other.
I think also it allows for an openness of communication, because if you're already prejudging and you turn away and you're not willing to listen, there are so many things that you're never going to hear about. You don't know the experiences that other people have gone through. You can't possibly. Even if you're a mind reader, you're not going to know it all.
You know, it's just so true. It's so true. It's, you know, when I do a lot of work on communication skills, and the first thing we talk about is Are you really aware of all the chatter that's going on in your head while you're so-called listening to another person? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we decide really quick whether we agree or disagree with what someone's saying. We usually have jumped ahead and made assumptions about the second half of their sentence. You know, we do, or we're thinking about, you know, the grocery list that we have to take care of later that day. It's not that easy to listen in a way that has real value and quality to it, but it's a really important skill. And, you know, I think it's one of those building blocks that makes or breaks relationships.
It is, and I'll share something with you. Yesterday, I gave a talk for an organization, and afterwards, I was discussing with someone how significant it is to present yourself in a way that you want other people to perceive you. I said, within less than 30 seconds, we've already made a judgment. This person said, not me. I don't do that. I said, oh, yes, you do. It is a very normal, natural, human patterning. It's built into us. It's built into our survival patterning. It's a judgment. Danger. No danger. Can this be a friend? Is it a foe? And maybe I'm being redundant in what I'm saying. But they had a hard time wrapping their mind about it because they said they've worked very hard on not being judgmental. And I said, I understand what you're saying, but you do it automatically. Your body language speaks it so loudly.
Yeah,
and it's not a criticism of you. I said, I'm not criticizing you. I don't want you to take it as a criticism. I want you to understand this is natural.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
I totally agree. And it's really at the foundation of phase one when you first enter, when you first meet someone and enter a new relationship. You can't help but have fantasies or fears about who this person is. And you can't help but project your stuff onto them. You know, if you've been betrayed in the past and you see someone who looks around the room, it's very easy for you to project that and say, oh, you know what, he's looking around at other women kind of a thing, rather than, you know, he may just be looking for a friend he's expecting to show up. So,
right.
You know, we do that all the time. And, you know, it's an interesting point when you say about how you present yourself, because we do like to present ourselves in certain ways when we first meet people. And it's a paradox because on the one hand, we try and control how people see us, because usually people want to be seen in a positive light. But on the other hand, we have no control over what somebody else is projecting onto us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really walking around in the dark. And in romantic relationships, the interesting thing that occurs is we're walking around in the dark, and yet we feel like we know so much. We feel like we're in nothing but light, and we're so sure of everything because we're filled with excitement and anticipation and hormones. So it's a really interesting time in the development of a relationship.
I like what you say about conflict. Now, believe me, there would have been a time in my life where I would have disagreed with you, but not anymore. You make a statement, conflict has acquired a bad reputation. I concur, because I think it's important for growth. Give us your twist on it.
Yeah, you know what? If we all walked around agreeing with each other and didn't have different opinions or different needs, I mean, we probably would still be, you know, living in caves, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, conflict is, it's vital. It's vital to creating more innovative problem solving and ideas and room for growth. You know, the key is how you manage the conflict. If you make the conflict personal, you know, if you turn it into, I'm going to prove that you're wrong and I'm right, that's when you get into trouble. And that's when it can and really be very destructive. But when you approach conflict as, okay, somebody has a different opinion, or they have a different approach, or they have a different need, let me put my ideas aside for a second and really hear what they're saying, and vice versa, then you open this whole space for really creative problem solving and understanding one another at a level that you just wouldn't have before that situation arose. So conflict is really a good thing. I mean, without it, I think life would be kind of boring, and I don't think we would have as much progress as we have.
And I look at it as a multifaceted aspect. It is there for agitation, and I don't know anybody that doesn't have to get a thorn in their underwear every once in a while that says, whoops, this isn't fitting properly, or I better check some things out. This isn't feeling very good.
Right.
And maybe I'm being a little melodramatic, but this isn't la-la land experience that we have here. And there are the good points, the bad points, and the ugly. I love the title of the movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because I think that's just a wonderful phrase to use relative to so many things. But it's okay. I mean, if you look at nature, there's all kinds of variables. And it's the same thing with people and relationships. So I think part of the conflict process is learning how to be comfortable in our own skin. What do you think about that?
I really think that's an excellent point. It is. I mean, you know, for me, relationships really serve as a mirror. You know, it mirrors what we need to see about ourselves, and this goes for everyone. So they provide an opportunity to see those things that we may have been unconscious of. You know, I remember, I think it was Barbara Streisand who was being interviewed. In fact, I think it was on Oprah, and she said, what did you learn by being married? And she just said a wonderful thing. She says, I learned that I need to watch my tone. So that's something that her marriage reflected back, her partner reflected back. And if we don't have those kind of opportunities, then we don't get to be conscious. And, you know, people will walk around saying, well, what's so wrong about walking around unconsciously? It may be far less painful. But what I tell people is that the more conscious you are, the more aware you are of who you are and what makes you tick and what buttons get triggered and what wounds are there, the more power you have in your life. You know, it's when we are aware of what's going on, then we have the power to choose our next step in our path. It's when our reactions are running us unconsciously, we think we're in control of our lives, but really we're not. You know, our unconscious reactions are really running the show. And our best decisions are made through self-awareness, not through running around unconsciously.
And I think it's sort of like trying to hit a piñata. If you're really wanting to find out who you are and you put a blindfold on and you're swinging at random, you might get lucky. And you might break something open and say, gee whiz, I've hit the jackpot. Look at all the goodies. But most of the time, when you're blindfolded, you're going to be dealing more from a positioning of apprehension and fear, and that gives people who want to manipulate you the upper hand, because you're not going to be able to really know what direction or what's going on around you.
Yeah, I love your metaphors, by the way. You have great
metaphors.
They're one, and I love metaphors. So I'm like, oh my gosh, these are great metaphors. When you have fear, you give up your power. It's the bottom line. So in relationships, let's say, you know, if you're really scared that someone's going to reject you and abandon you and you're going to be alone, and that's what you're operating under, and you're not even aware that you're operating under that, yeah, you can accept and accommodate behavior that really is not conducive to your well-being. And not understand why. You know, you're not saying, I think I need something different. I deserve something better. Our fears, we're never going to get rid of them. I mean, it's just part of being human. But the more that we're aware of them, the more empowered we are to not let them wreak havoc or get in our way. It's really important. You really want to hold your power in all your relationships. And that doesn't mean that you're controlling or manipulating. It actually means just the opposite. The more you're accepting of another human being for who he or she truly is, you know, the more you accept the situation, the more you have your power to decide, is this a relationship that works for me? And by accepting someone that does work for you, I mean, then you create all kinds of love and intimacy in your life. I mean, that's where anything is possible.
And I think I'm going to expand your statements here to include not just intimate relationships with someone that you want as a partner, a lover, whatever, but also this goes over into business. This goes into working relationships. I really like what you said about accepting people as they are, because there's going to be those, there are going to be those individuals that when you're with them, you go, wow, I've just got a team here. I got someone that I can do anything with. Cha-chung, here we go. And that, on the other hand, you may have someone else that really doesn't want to be side by side with you, but maybe a very good as a support person, or someone that is going to enable you to achieve something that you want because they really like to see you achieve, and yet you can support them in a way that's going to empower them in whatever medium they're in. And I think this goes across the board. I don't think it's just that magical love relationship in your life. I think it really is encompassing the aspect of living with other human beings and interacting with them. And some of them are schmucks, and you're not going to want to deal with them.
Right.
That's the way I feel about it. There are some people that I wouldn't care if they were gilded. You're not going to work with them.
You know, I tell people, look, I can promise you that you can create relationships in your life that work. I can't promise it will be with the person that you want it to happen with. So true. Yeah, I mean, some people, it's not a good match. And I agree. I mean, while this book focuses on romantic, intimate relationships, the actual developmental path and all the tasks and skills and gifts that go along the way, you can apply that to all relationships. You know, it can be relationships at work. It can be with your friends. It can be with family members. It really applies to your children. These are universal developmental steps that all relationships go through. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, I do also a lot of work in corporations and nonprofit organizations and do a lot of team building work. And it's the same kind of work. You know, how do you put aside your preconceived judgments and really understand your team members' strengths? You know, what do they bring to the table? How can you pull your strengths together to achieve your common goal? How do you accept and support each other? You know, what's a working approach that works well for this team? And relationships, just like high-performing teams in the workplace, when you get to that point where, you know, it just gels, the team and the relationship really then becomes effortless. It's when you really nurture the needs of the relationship effortlessly takes care of you and your partner, your spouse, your team members, whatever type of relationship you're talking about, in a way that you wouldn't have imagined. So, you know, as you move through those earlier stages of getting to know, you know, yourself, getting to know the other person, you start working through all your biases, your disappointments, you really embrace and celebrate each other for who you are. Then you work towards really being able to create a transformational relationship. And really what that means is that you take care of the relationship's needs first. You really nurture the relationship and nourish it. And then when you do that, like I said, then it creates a space for people to flourish like they could not have imagined flourishing before. It just adds a whole other dimension.
I absolutely love it because being a minister and a counselor, I've dealt with a lot of people like you have. It just, I've gotten to a point after so many years of interacting with various scenarios that sometimes I have to just chuckle at people. And they can be of all ages. It doesn't make any difference. They could be, you know, a younger person in their 20s or an older person that's in their 70s or 80s. It doesn't make any difference. But for some reason, they seem to think that they should have a Disney cartoon special as far as relationships go.
Right.
And I just have to chuckle. I'll say, excuse me, what are you going to do when that person lets out gas at an unexpected time? Or they're sick, and all of a sudden they're throwing all up over the family room. There's nothing romantic about this stuff.
Right.
You've got to deal with real life. And when you see real life, and of course that's a definition that anybody can define in their own way, but when you see the variables of life, and then you encounter someone that seems to think that there's supposed to be a la-la special out there with a Cinderella cap on it, you go, okay, I think we need to have a good conversation here.
Yeah, you know, because
it's amazing.
It's true, because what they're caught in the trap of that fantasy phase. You know, they're caught in the trap of the, what it really is that people, when they first fall in love, they have that euphoric feeling. That's really a lot of dopamine. You know, I always hate to burst people's bubble, but it's very biochemical of what's going on.
Oh, that's not fun.
I know.
I mean, that's not fun at all. That's not what they talk about in the soap operas. Come on, Julie.
It's like, people say, what is phase one? I say it's like a double-layered chocolate fudge cake. I mean, who doesn't love that, you know?
Without calories, yeah.
Right, okay. Right. But you can't live on it forever. You'll get sick eventually. And it's understanding that's what they're wanting to maintain, that feeling, kind of that high, and that's really not what's going on. What's going on is that initial feeling is what gets us kind of, it helps us become attached to begin with. You know, it has a purpose for us as human beings and the survival of our species. But what it does then is it's the gateway to really creating real love and intimacy and a bond that has so much more meaning and so much more substance. You know, as much as I love chocolate cake, you know, actually at some point I really want a nice, nurturing, nutrient-rich meal. And, you know, that's what it comes along with understanding, you know, people will disappoint you. People cannot meet your needs every time you want them met. You know, people are on their own journey with their own struggles, and it's just that's part of the nature of life. There's just no getting away from that, and that doesn't mean that you can't have a really lovely, long-term, intimate, satisfying relationship. You just need to have a realistic picture of what that will look like.
Yes, and it's not according to Hollywood movies, I guarantee you.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
No, because, you know, Hollywood, I mean, why they focus on that is because that's the dramatic part of relationships, you know, that's what good stories are made of that stuff. I mean, look at, you know, I probably think 80% of the songs that are on the radio are also about that. You know, I want love, I can't have love, I got love, I lost love. You know, it's all about that, because that's what really hits our heart the most. But that's really just what it's stuck in. It's stuck in that and people wishing there was something or someone that could make them feel whole and better and happy forever. And you know, it's human nature to want that and to think that would be lovely. But that's just not, like you say, that's not the nature of life. I think we really, we're all run by the same laws of nature. You know, there are cycles and there's different growth patterns. And but as in nature, you know, nature fights to keep growing. And I think
Absolutely. That's
what's important, you know, for people to remember. We really are on a growth pattern. We're designed to be that way. And relationships are just one of the most wonderful vehicles for us to grow from. So,
I agree. And I think, and I speak from personal experience, some of the choices that I made in my life regarding personal relationships, I think of one in particular, and it was actually what catapulted me into my career. And when I looked at it at the time when I was going through it, all I could see was I was in a very bad space. In hindsight, I realized without that experience, that catalyst, I probably wouldn't have evolved to where I am today. And I think when people can look at life in a way of that positioning of thinking, it empowers them to recognize it's okay that they have had very, very unsatisfactory, disillusioning situations if they awakened from that experience to understand that who they are as an individual really has value, and it helps them to appreciate who they are and to respect who they are. But more than anything else, it causes them to ask questions. It did with me. And if I hadn't asked the questions, then again, I wouldn't have been able to grow into where I am today as a human being. And this was a few years ago, that's true. But still, I really like to encourage people to recognize that. It's okay to flunk, folks. It's all right. What's your positioning on that?
You know, I think that's a really important point, because I feel like all relationships are valuable. All people have value in our lives, no matter if they're in for a short period of time or a long period of time. You know, really the ultimate goal like you said before, is to get comfortable in your own skin. The ultimate goal may not necessarily be to have a happily ever after, you know, marriage or relationship. The mm-hmm. ultimate goal is to have a happily ever after relationship with yourself. And so all relationships are kind of gifts for you to grow more and more comfortable in your own skin. So I agree. I mean, I hear what you're saying. It becomes painful to watch some people who get into a repetitive pattern, so that, you know, they're needing to have the lesson over and over and over again. But you know what? I've been a therapist long enough. I've been living on this planet long enough that I don't even hold a lot of judgment there. I mean, it can be hard to watch someone that you care about do that. But you know, some people need to go through three rounds and they're done with that issue. And mm-hmm. some people need to go through 20 rounds. Everybody's different. They get their life lessons in their own time frame. I'm hoping that the book, The Pathway to Love, kind of provides a guide to help people be able to minimize the number of rounds that they need to go through, to give them permission and a sense of safety to look at themselves. Because that, and then the healing occurs, and then you can, you know, you're gonna make different choices there on out.
I agree. I'll share with you a quick story because I know we're almost getting out of time. I had a client once, a lovely woman that I had some time with, and I was astonished at a story she told me. I would never have guessed this in a million years about her, but she had been in a very abusive relationship and was sent to the hospital 11 times. Oh. And I just looked at her. I said, 11 times? What in the world made you mm-hmm. endure it for that long? She said, I honestly cannot tell you. Mm-hmm. But on the 11th time, she's sitting in the hospital, looking in a mirror and saying, what is the matter with me? She looked at herself in the mirror, and after that, there was no going back. Somehow or another, she had gotten the message. And this was one of the most poised, beautiful women I've ever met. And I just said, that's almost incomprehensible to me. I look at you today, I can't imagine you going through something like that. She said, I can't either, but I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think what you've said is so significant. And for those of you listening, by the way, the book, The Pathway to Love, there is a chapter in the book called What is Transformation? And I wrote in the book, this is the best chapter. This is my bias, of course, that I'm expressing. But there's so much good information in this book, The Pathway to Love. Julie Orlov is my guest today. And I think it's important for us to realize that relationships on any level are a part of our life experience. So when you empower yourself with understanding, whether it is an intimate relationship that you're seeking, you're desiring, I think that Julie summed it up very well. It's being comfortable in your own skin, and the book, The Pathway to Love, really will help you come to an understanding about how you can transform relationships. She's got wonderful stories in here about different individuals. Julie, your website, I know, is julieorlov.com, and that's J-U-L-I-E-O-R-L-O-V, like Victor. Also, thepathwaytolove.com. We're almost out of time, Julie. What thought would you like to leave with my listeners today?
I just would like to leave them with getting excited about what their relationships can offer to themselves and their own growth and their own healing. You know, to really nurture and protect those relationships that nurture and protect you, and just to get excited about the process of self-discovery.
I think that is really positive. I think, Julie, that in our world today, when we're hearing reports on the news that are really loaded with fear, hey, folks, you may have to work until you're 84 because you're not going to get Social Security until then. You can't retire at 60 or 65. Excuse me, things are changing. And I have to laugh because I know so many mature people that they're saying, who's going to retire? What for? I'd be bored silly. We're living longer. We are in a position to enjoy better health if we're proactive with that. So why not have an excitement about life and realize that we can have new relationships, associations? So I think your book, The Pathway to Love, really gives people that opportunity to explore. I want to thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation.
This is Donna Sebo, my guest, Julie Orlov. Go to her website, julieorlov.com, or thepathwaytolove.com. Good information, insightful, and practical. You can apply it right here, right now. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. And if you'd like to chat with me today, we have a worldwide toll-free number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share something with you today because, as far as I'm concerned, life takes guts. I learned that at the age of 18. And I won't tell you why at this moment, but I came across a quote, and it was by a Colonel John S. Roosma. And this is what he said. He said, "One of man's finest qualities is described by the simple word guts, the ability to take it. If you have the discipline to stand fast when your body wants to run, if you can control your temper and remain cheerful in the face of monotony or disappointment, you have guts in the soldiering sense. This ability to take it must be trained. The training is hard, mental as well as physical. But once ingrained, you can face and flail the enemy as a soldier and enjoy the challenges of life as a civilian." I have a real challenge when people do not feel that discipline is important in life. I don't know of anyone who is successful that hasn't had to have the big D in their life in one form or another. And I've met so many people that have gone through circumstances and situations that when I hear their story, I am just in amazement. I don't know that I would have had the courage to do what they did to survive it. I was listening to the story of a young Korean man who participated in an entertainment contest. And when he was interviewed, because they have these young people that are applying for it, they have them fill out application forms. This young man had been born in an orphanage. He was Korean. And he had no family. He was forced to go into a foster home at the age of 5 because he was an orphan. They decided this is what they were going to do with him. The people that ran the foster home, and that's my word for it, they beat him badly. He runs away. Now, for years, for over 10 years, he lived on the streets. Now, think about this. This is a kid living on the streets. He's making money selling pop or whatever he can. He'd often sleep in public bathrooms or any place that he could. Bathing, maybe that was something that he could do. And I watched him. This is something someone sent me. I watched him up on the stage talking about his story, and I was amazed, because this is one of the most poised young men I've ever seen. He looks like he's in his teens. And when he was asked about how he got his education, he learned from other people to the best of his capacity, learned enough that he was able to pass his GED, and then got involved in music. And how he got involved in music is because he was watching a performer one time sing on a stage. He said, oh, this is wonderful. Well, this young man's voice is absolutely incredible. Just incredible. But people, when they heard his story about he had lived on the streets, he had gone through hunger, he had gone through severe privation, abuse, yet he didn't seem to harbor any real anger. He had an initiative and a willingness to be able to do the best with what he had at any given time, and he stepped up to his own personal bar by competing with others. Well, the judges that were aware of what he went through made a statement that I thought was just really incredible. One of them said that whether or not he won the competition, they were going to make sure that he had something to continue his musical training, because he was obviously very gifted. But when he would sing, his voice was so rich, but what you really heard was emotion. This was something he wasn't necessarily technically correct, but the power and clarity of the voice, as well as who he is as an individual, came through in the music. It was an awesome demonstration. This young man is what I would call a real gutsy individual. Someone that took life in stride, no blame game, just saying, this is what happened, and this is what I did. He has an opportunity now, and a lot of people that are wanting to help him. But if you'd passed him on the street, you would never have known what he's going through. How many people do we pass on the street? Do we ever open up a conversation with? We don't. We're usually so busy and so involved in our own lives, we can't possibly know what other people are going through. And sometimes we get so occupied in our own little world that we forget to make the time to listen to other people. Julie, my guest today, was talking about how important it is to listen, and I think it is something that's worth doing. It doesn't mean that you feel sorry for people. It means that you try to listen, learn from them, and understand that their experiences maybe can teach you something that you otherwise would not be aware of. When you become a good listener, you are aware you don't necessarily have to go through a lot of the miseries and discomforts that maybe someone else has gone through. Life does take guts, and I don't know of any shortcuts. You've heard me say it on the show many, many times. There's no such thing as a straight line. It does not exist. I haven't found it anyway. So if somebody tries to tell you that there is a real thing such as Pollyannish events and circumstances and everything can be perfectly, perfectly hunky-dory, you better keep your eyes open, because life has all kinds of surprises. I do have to share with you, I was sent a movie clip on the tsunami in Japan. Someone had a camera, and they were up on a side of a hill or a mountain that was high enough, and to watch that tsunami come in and move houses, complete houses, complete buildings, bridges. There was on the film someone that had just driven through a bridge, and within less than a minute after they had put themselves into that bridge, I'm sure they were killed, the water came flooding through underneath in a tunnel and a bridge that came out, and it was just absolutely incredible. So we just really have to be aware of the fact that life is always going to present us challenges. It's what we do with them and the disciplines that we develop that enable us to survive. And I'll tell you, it's absolutely amazing, the stories that you'll hear from people. And if ever you doubt it, take a visit. Make a time for a visit to a local hospital. I think you'll be surprised at the stories that you'll hear there. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. If this is your first time listening to the show, I'm happy to give you an intuitive reading over the air. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, I'll tell you whatever I perceive about you. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Oh, I want to remind you, tomorrow we're going to be talking about billionaires. Yes, that's with a capital B. We're going to talk about how they became billionaires. What are their success stories? Bob Jordan is going to be my guest. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about food. Oh, yes. How you can make healthy meals, and they can be delicious. They don't have to be dull and mundane and boring. They really can be good. Then, for those of you that aspire to be a writer, Priscilla Long is going to be my guest on Thursday. We're going to be talking about her marvelous book, The Writer's Portable Mentor. Very, very good. And then, A Guide for Midlife by Mackenzie McGee. This book is so unique and so special. And it deals with astrology. It deals with times of life. It has parables in it. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful book. So we've got some great guests this week. Anytime you want to check out on the guests, just check show information right by the Donna Sebo Show when you're clicking in, and you'll find out about the people that are coming up on the program. So this is Donna Sebo, and 888-815-9756 is the number that you can call in to. What would you think about a man in pajamas that disappears? Well, that is what happened with a particular gentleman. And this happened in 1959 on April the 15th at a motel in Illinois. There was a Mrs. Bruce Campbell who awakened to find that her husband and his pajamas were missing. Their money, their car, and his clothes were there. Nothing else was missing, just him and his PJs. Now, they were journeying across the country to visit their son, and they had stopped for a night in Jacksonville, Illinois. And nothing was ever found out about him. He just disappeared. And also, there is another story about a person disappearing. Now, we're going to be going all the way back to the 1700s in Shepton Mallet, England. There was a gentleman by the name of Owen Parfitt. Now, he was a paraplegic. He was sitting in his chair at dusk. He was in full view of the farmhands that were working in a field across from him. Storm clouds were coming in, so a sister and a friend went to get Owen so they could take him inside. But Owen was gone. That's right. He was gone. He left behind only his coat, which was very, very, very neatly folded on the seat of his chair. They investigated this case in 1814 and also in 1933. This is a cold, cold case. They never got an answer, never could explain how he disappeared in front of everybody. Then in 1900 in Sherman Church, Michigan, there was a worker at the Augusta Mills who jumped up from his chair in the office, ran into the mill itself. Nobody ever saw him again. They literally took areas of the mill apart. thinking that maybe he had fallen into some equipment, whatever. Searched the countryside, never to be found. And then last but not least, another case in 1949 in Vermont, there was an ex-soldier by James Tetford. He was traveling back to the Bennington soldiers' home by bus when he, but not his luggage, vanished from the moving vehicle. 14 other passengers and the driver of the bus. So I'm asleep in his seat, and then, poof, he was gone. Do you know in the Bennington area, apparently they've had more than one unexplained disappearance. Ah, yes, there's a lot we don't have answers to. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Oh, have that pad of paper and pen handy. I've got some good recipes I want to share with you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay, if you got that pad of paper handy and pen, scallops and sweet potatoes. Now, this is a one-pot meal. And I don't know about you, but the easier things are, especially with a busy schedule, the better it is. And if you have a small crock pot, now this is a recipe for two, and you can double it if you want. It is hot and spicy, however. And scallops, I just love scallops. They're just absolutely wonderful. Now, this you can do in an oven. Or you can also, well, you can do it in a 2-quart Dutch oven. And you can also use, if you want, a crock pot. But it is so delicious. And here in the Pacific Northwest, we're known for our seafood. In fact, gee whiz, the salmon are going to be coming out really, really soon. We've got all kinds of, we're just known for seafood here. This people come in from all over the world sometimes just to eat at some of our super fine restaurants because we love our seafood. Well, scallops are very special, and they are very difficult, delicate, and you don't want to overcook them because then they can get really, really tough. But this is a recipe of Chief Ming Tsai, and this is something that he put together that's so easy. Now, all you're going to need is one small sweet potato, or you can use a yam if you like. You're going to need 2 to 3 shallots or a quarter of an onion chopped. Shallots have a little bit of a sweeter taste than your onion, unless you're using a real sweet white onion, which they're going to be coming out pretty soon. You need a little bit of salt and pepper. You're going to need 5 to 7 mushrooms. And if you are in an economic position where you can afford wild mushrooms from your local grocer, go ahead and try them out because they have different types of flavors to them. Then you're going to need 1/2 pound or 3/4 pound of scallops. And you can use fresh or frozen. sea or bay scallops, whatever you prefer. You're going to need 4 to 7 cloves of fresh garlic. 4 to 7 cloves of fresh garlic. You're going to need a tablespoon of ginger. And it should be freshly grated. Now, if you don't have fresh ginger available to you, then what you can use is 1/2 teaspoon of dry ginger. You're going to need 1 tablespoon of chives, 1/3 cup of chicken or vegetable broth. You're going to need 1 cup of green beans, and you want to cut them into like 2-inch pieces. Or you can use broccoli if you like. And you're going to need 1 teaspoon of lemon juice or 1/4 lemon squeeze. Now, this is how easy this recipe is. All goes into one pot. Woohoo! That's easy. All right, so you're going to preheat your oven to 450 degrees. Now, this is for a Dutch oven. You're going to use a Dutch oven. You also could do this with a crock pot, and it's your choice. You want to spray your 2-quart Dutch oven and your lid with oil, olive oil, whatever you got, just spray it. You're going to julienne your sweet potato. You don't have to peel it. Just scrub it, wash it, and you put the sticks in the bottom of the pot. You just toss them in there loosely. Then you add your onions, a little bit of salt and pepper, and remember, it's better to have less salt than too much salt. So a little bit of salt goes a long way, and all the flavors will marry after it's baked. Then you're going to put your mushrooms in a layer. Put your scallops on top of the mushrooms. You might want to add a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of salt and pepper, not much. And then put your garlic, ginger, and chives over the top, and then your broth you pour over it all. And then, last but not least, you put your green beans or your broccoli, whichever green vegetable you prefer to use, and then take your lemon juice and squeeze it over the top. You cover it. You bake it for 40 minutes. And you know there's going to be a fragrance that will fill your kitchen. And you'll know that it's done. It's just going to have that wonderful, wonderful aroma. Now, something that Chef Ming said, your chanterelle or your hedgehog wild mushrooms, I haven't ever had any of those, will really add a very distinct flavor to this dish. But shiitake or button mushrooms will be just fine, whatever you have available. And you're going to find that all of the other suggestions that he gives, this is so nice because it's a one-pot meal. Serves two perfectly. If you want to do more, just double it. It'll be just fine. It's one of those fabulous recipes that you can double, triple, or however many times you want to increase it. The flavors are just going to be great. And then before we close out, I wanted to share this delightful story with you about this adorable dog. It's a little Chihuahua. Absolutely the sweetest thing. If you've ever seen Chihuahuas, you know they've got eyes that are just huge. Their eyes almost look too big for their head. But they have just got so much personality. And Little Bit is a little Chihuahua that had been a companion for a woman's mother for a number of years. In fact, it was 15 years. Now, this lady's mother, and it was Jenny, is the name of the woman. This is her story. And she said, my mother was so efficient at everything, but do you know she didn't leave any information about what, if something should happen to her, who gets the dog? Nobody had a clue. Well, as it turned out, her mother ended up passing away. Everything was fine, but nobody wanted the dog in the family. Little Bit was not very nice to other people. And she ends up getting this little dog. Well, this little Chihuahua, all of about 3 pounds, was the terror from hell. She tore up furniture. She tormented Jenny's cats. She was just absolutely awful. Well, she had had her for about 2 weeks, going through this nightmare with this little bit. And she even tried to give the dog away. She put an ad in the paper. Nobody was responding. Nobody wanted this little dog. Well, one day she got so frustrated, she was sitting down, and she just broke down and she cried. The next thing she knew, this little tiny Chihuahua was in her lap, just looking her right in the eye. She found herself petting the little thing, and do you know what? She realized that this little dog, Little Bits, had been grieving for the loss of her mistress. And do you know what? Things changed.
That sweet little dog became her best companion. You just never know what's going on in someone or some creature's mind. Just a great story. Little Bits had a home and lots of love to go with it. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is yours to be lived. Enjoy it with zest. It is your experience. Bring it to life. Be comfortable in your own skin. You're loved. God bless. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here. BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.